Here's the editor of Lenswork Publishing, Brooks Jensen.
As you'll see in just a bit, the focus of today's podcast is film noir, which I've recently been experimenting with, and I want to talk a little bit about it because I think there's a lot of creativity that can come from this train of thought. At least it has for me. Hopefully it will for you too. And it starts with a simple idea that photography has what I would characterize as a natural aesthetic of photorealism. That is to say, the typical photograph is intended to mimic human vision. It's as though we are, through the photograph, transported through space and time to the place the photographer was when they made the picture. And so we can see the world through their eyes. That's photographic realism. And the closer the image looks to something we would see had we been standing there, the more photographic realism is on display. Of course, that's not the only thing we can do with photography, but that's the fundamental photographic aesthetic, is photographic realism. And that aesthetic is the default for most photographs. Not all, but most. There does exist the possibility, however, to borrow aesthetics from other media and forms of artistic expression, which brings me to film noir. Recently, I've been playing with a dark and moody aesthetic inspired by film noir, and that has me thinking about how we process our images, how we visualize our images, and what we create relative to mood, etc. Now, for those of you who think maybe realism is the end-all and be-all of photography, so-called straight photography, it does occur to me that whether we want to or not, every photograph we produce has an aesthetic. Black and white is an aesthetic, because the world isn't black and white. There are probably specialty circumstances where it's pretty doggone monochromatic. But fundamentally, the world is a colorful place. And so when we make a black and white image, we're applying a certain aesthetic that focuses our attention on line and form and shape and texture rather than on color. At the other end of that spectrum, we could talk about exaggerated color, hyper color, where we crank the vibrance up. That's an aesthetic too, very popular these days. A lot of photographers want to see saturated colors. And oftentimes, that's the perfect aesthetic decision for the subject and for the mood and for the intent of the photographer. But it is an aesthetic that's applied on top of, if you will, photographic realism. We're moving the optical realities and the tonal realities towards something that we think is going to be more emotional. So we make choices, aesthetic choices, all the time. And I'm not proposing that every photograph or every project has to have some complicated aesthetic applied to it. Sometimes simple photographic realism with the truthful optics of our cameras is all that's really needed. But I'm simply trying to say that's not the only choice. Here's a few examples for those of you who have back issues in lens work. Go look at Brigitte Carnican's Layered Memories from lens work number 80. A beautiful job of defining a new aesthetic that represents how memory works. It was a wonderful project, one of the most inventive we've ever published. And if you look at her work as using a certain kind of aesthetic to create a certain kind of emotional response, it makes perfect sense that what she did was just genius. Another simple example is from lens work number 128, DeLong Shao, and his round prints. There are a few photographers, I can think of Sam Wang, for example, who have made a career out of doing round prints, but most of us don't. That's an aesthetic that we don't think of or don't use, either because it never occurs to us or because it's just convention in photography to use square or rectangular images. I won't even call them quadrilateral images, because I never see parallelograms. They're always rectilinear rectangles or squares. And that's the convention, and that's what everybody does. Unless you break out of that and apply an alternative aesthetic to your images, like DeLong Xiao did with his round prints from Hangzhou, China. Another example is from the late Jack Curran, whom we published in Lenswork number 150. I don't know if Jack developed this idea of what I'll call spotlight vision, if that was his idea or if he saw somebody else had done that, which probably could have easily been done. But it's an aesthetic that he applied on top of his botanical images that was really fascinating. And he made an entire project that had that certain alternative aesthetic in use that made a wonderful body of work. We published it not only in Lenswork, but also as a Lenswork monograph. Michael Kenna, of course, is famous. We've published him a number of times. Is famous for his minimalism. So I guess what I'm proposing is that it might be very useful to think in terms of alternative aesthetics. And let me include a couple of examples from my own work. When I first bought an inkjet printer and started playing around with what it could do and how I wanted to think aesthetically about inkjet printing, one of the first ideas I ran across, not my idea, picked it up somewhere else, was the idea of printing on the paper a texture with no image on it, just a texture. And I did some textures that were rice paper textures and wheat stalk textures, etc. You print them through the printer the first time, then get your image and print again on top of the texture you printed in the first pass. Now what that does is very interesting, because the texture in the light areas of your photographic image will show through, and the dark areas will not. So the dark areas, black shadows and whatnot, don't have any texture because they overprint the texture that you printed in the first pass, but all the lighter areas do. It's a fascinating aesthetic, a completely different way of seeing the world that doesn't match at all what we see with our eyes, but makes a very interesting aesthetic for a print. Pre-printed textures have all kinds of possibilities, because think of all the ways you could pre-print the texture with different textures, with different colors, with different intensities, with different lightness and darkness, etc. It's a fascinating way to experiment with an alternative aesthetic for photography. Another project I did was based on Japanese ukiyo-e prints. These are woodblock prints like Hokusai's famous Great Wave of Kanazawa. And there's a certain aesthetic to Japanese woodblock prints that include a border that goes all the way around, the use of what's called a cartouche, a little square that's usually up in one of the corners of the image that is the title of the print and sometimes the author's name and the publisher's name, etc. So there's an aesthetic to Japanese woodblock prints that I adapted for use with my photographs in a project I did as a folio and as a PDF called Hokusai in the Rocks. I borrowed that aesthetic from Japanese woodblock prints and incorporated it into something that was photographic in nature rather than woodblock prints. Similarly, I did a project called Uchiwae, which is Japanese for paddle fan prints. Think of a ping pong paddle. You've all seen those fans that are shaped kind of like a ping pong paddle from Japanese and Chinese culture. Well, those fan-shaped prints fascinated me, and so I did an entire project that was fan-shaped images, adapting an alternative aesthetic from a different medium, and in this case, a different culture, for use in a project that paid homage to the great Japanese artists who made these things. Well, all of this brings me back to where I started, which is the idea of film noir. For reasons I won't get into, and that are essentially non sequitur to the podcast, I've been watching a lot of film noir movies of late, and fascinated by their sense of light and shadow and contrast and chiaroscuro. They're marvelous. And for some reason, watching some of these film noir movies brought to mind the great painting Nighthawks by Edward Hopper, and I thought, isn't that interesting? Edward Hopper adopted that aesthetic for his painting, or maybe it's the other way around. Maybe the movie makers adopted that aesthetic from Edward Hopper. I don't know which came first, chicken or egg. But it got me thinking about what could I do as a photographer with the film noir aesthetic. Now, by the way, I also learned in the process, side note, that film noir tends to be associated with the hard-boiled detective school of storytelling. Think of Humphrey Bogart's Sam Spade and Philip Marlowe and all that kind of stuff. But film noir actually isn't restricted to those kinds of plots and those kinds of stories. It's more a visual aesthetic than it is a kind of plot line. And once I started thinking about film noir as an aesthetic, it occurred to me that I could do that with my photographs. I could make film noir stills, if you will, out of some of my images that were never intended to be photographed as film noir, but it's relatively easy to make an image that we've captured digitally, to make it dark, to make it moody, to make it contrasty, to hold the detail in the highlights while we push the rest of the tones down. Why not? So I did so, and this is where I'm going to sort of cross-pollinate my ideas here a little bit. If you want to see some of these images that I've been playing around with that use a film noir alternative aesthetic, you can go to my personal website at brooksjensenarts.com, and you'll find there a link to a project I called Every Picture is a Compromise, abbreviated EPIC, tongue-in-cheek, trust me. These are images that, as I photograph them, don't work. They're failures. But after I do something with them, maybe they get usable. Maybe they're better. Maybe I can salvage something. And I do 5 epic posts a week, Monday through Friday. So this week, which is the last week in December of 2025, just in case you're listening to this a year or two down the road, if you go to the epic series and look at the last week in December of 2025, you'll see 5 examples of film noir processed images that didn't start with the idea that I was going to turn them into film noir images, but they seem to work. They have a little mystery. I could easily see some hard-boiled detective chasing bad guys through one of these scenes. It turned out to be pretty easy to make film noir images out of stills. I chose to do this with images from the shipyard that was across the street from the Lenswerk offices for about 10 years, and I spent a lot of time photographing over there. As a matter of fact, I have about 10,000 captures from inside the Dakota Creek shipyard. They became friends and neighbors of ours, and so I was able to go over there and photograph whenever I wanted to. And for the longest time, I've wondered what I should do with all of those images, because I didn't use it as a documentary option to describe boat building. But now I have something I can do with an awful lot of those images, is turn them into an alternative aesthetic that makes them look and feel like film noir aesthetic, which is a lot more interesting than sort of straight shots with nice, properly exposed images. Those are sort of factual, sort of shipbuilding detail images, some of which are interesting, most of which I've never quite figured out what to do with them. But I now have something that I can do, because I'm exploring an alternative aesthetic that move these images quite a bit away from photographic realism, what you would see if you were standing next to me when I made the pictures, into something that is moody, that is emotional, that is very definitely a different thing entirely than a straight photograph. The bottom line of this discussion is this. I think with every project, with every photograph, we have a choice. Do we want to represent this subject with photographic realism, so we're using photography as a means to transport viewers through time and space to see what we see, or do we adopt some kind of alternative aesthetic that makes the subject look not like it looked to human vision, but give it an alternative aesthetic that moves it into a completely different emotional realm? If we're willing to look at our photography that way, I think what we can see is that we are surrounded by alternative aesthetics that we can borrow from painting, from sculpture, from different cultures, from different time periods. Why couldn't you make an image that sort of used the aesthetic of the Sistine Chapel or Egyptian hieroglyphics? Or, boy, that list could go on forever. Thinking beyond photographic realism into alternative aesthetics opens doors of creativity that are simply mind-boggling. I'm having a blast playing around with just one of them, the film noir aesthetic. And because it's so fun, maybe that's a place to start. Do you have any street photography or urban scape photography that you could turn into something that looks like it belongs in Casablanca, or the Maltese Falcon, or the Naked City, or Double Indemnity? And just in closing, if you're as tired as I am of superhero films and other silliness of today's modern Hollywood, man, go back and look at some of those gorgeous black and white movies from the 40s and early 50s. And even if they have kind of simplistic plots and archaic and dated passages of dialogue, just look at the lighting and the beautiful, beautiful black and white renditions those cinematographers were able to create with what you and I would have to consider pretty primitive tools. But they mastered them so beautifully. They're just wonderful movies to watch from a still photographer's perspective.
Copyright 2025, Lenswork Publishing.